Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, everybody? We have a fun, exciting show. Pete Overzet finally decided to join us, and we're going to talk a lot about ball this show. So if you like ball and you like prospect, you like draft, mock drafts, you know, guys that you like, free agents, guys that you love on this very special Valentine's Day, then I'm not sure this is a show for you, but we'll try. So it's a Swolecast here on RotoGrinders.com.
You came to Static from the Swolecast? I was like, yep, that's me.
I just want you guys to know I'm total dust. I'm the problem.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Leave it to the guy with the crypto Dunes Abbey to not understand content.
I should have known you getting 30 likes was directly written by someone else.
You know me, I don't do a ton of research before the show.
I put no research into this, don't know if it's true at all.
You're on the right show.
To it, bro, live a little.
Live a little.
Just live a little, guys.
Welcome. Welcome, everybody, to this very special Valentine's Day edition of the Swolecast. Tuttle not here with us. He's grinding soccer lineups, projections, everything else. Luckily, though, we do have Davis. Davis coming off that big victory. I want to know. Oh, and hey, Pete, how are you?
Hey, what's up, man?
Yeah. What's up? Davis, I want to know. The tale of two halves on the Super Bowl. Just take us a little bit behind the scenes of your mental state, first half compared to second half.
I mean, the first thing is that it was definitely a lie. What I said on the show last week, that it was all found money, you know, that like, whatever, if you lose to Brock Purdy, you lose to Brock Purdy. Turns out that's not true. The most revealing thing that I sort of came upon watching the game is that when you're rooting for a team as good as the Chiefs, that it's not about the game so much in itself. It's about what losing the game would mean in sort of a historical context. The immediate thought is not, oh, it's such a bummer. Really would have been awesome to see these guys win another Super Bowl. It's, oh my God, 17 years from now, I'm going to be arguing with people on Twitter about how Mahomes is actually the GOAT, even though he did lose that Super Bowl to Tom Brady and Brock Purdy, you know? So it's honestly, the win is more of a relieving feeling than a feeling of like real joy. Honestly, the like thinking back on it, the happiest I ever was rooting for the Chiefs was the 13-second Bills game. That was as good as it ever got, which is just kind of weird.
Were you though, like, just really annoyed in the first half that they couldn't do anything. And it just it kind of felt like old, like Kansas City regular season.
You know, I don't know if annoyed is the right word, but it honestly, I thought they were just getting so lucky. Really, they should have been down by way more than 7 points. Like Shanahan mismanaged the clock at the end. They should have went and tried to get another field goal. McCaffrey fumbles on that opening drive. I mean, what a different game if McCaffrey doesn't fumble. Yeah, but
Kansas
there.
Kansas City also fumbled. But yeah, those two fumbles, the muffed and the fumble. That was those were crucial. Pete, how was your Super Bowl viewing experience?
It was good. I was with Underdog in Arizona. I had a red eye back that I timed perfectly if the game was four quarters. I didn't plan it perfectly. I didn't even get to see the overtime. I was in an Uber.
I also didn't get to see – well, I got to see it via YouTube TV, but I was at Dan Bach's place, and I told my family, like, let's just leave, like, in the third quarter because I do not want to miss crunch time. And then everybody's just having a good time.
Why did you have to leave?
Because I got kids, and they had school the next day, and we had been gone.
Sure.
We had been gone for 5 days to Florida. You know, we had just gotten there. So it's just like there was a lot that had to be done. And sure enough, we did have to leave like with 3 minutes left in the game. And so I'm driving home, like watching the game as I drive. Don't recommend that to anybody. And luckily overtime made it to where I could get home finally to see those final two possessions.
So you would have missed the end of regulation.
Okay. Yeah. So overtime actually saved me.
You called Buffalo Wild Wings and you're like, I got to head home, put the kids to bed. If you could send it to overtime for me, that would be great.
Yeah. Super Bowl at the day after Super Bowl used to be a company holiday for Roto-Grinders, not a company holiday.
So neither of you guys saw Brock Purdy airball the third down. You did see that.
That the one in the end zone where he just threw it up?
The third and four where they would have just won the game had Purdy converted and Spagnuolo put him in a pretzel.
No, did not see that one.
That was the biggest impact play of the season, pretty much. And we're back to dancing on Purdy's grave here on the program, obviously.
Like in the first, people were talking about how he wasn't a good quarterback. I think he did just fine. He's fine.
He's fine.
Don't be fine.
I feel like Shanahan's the biggest loser.
Yeah, the whole overtime thing.
Except it was fine. What he did in overtime was fine.
No, but not that. The combined factor the day after it coming out that the players had no clue that the overtime rules were different. Imagine you're talking Davis like you imagine yourself like in the historical context. I imagine myself as like the coach. And if you're Shanahan and you're hearing that your players did not know the overtime rule changes and that's like the narrative,
You're Steve Wilkes, and you hear your all your defensive players be like, "We didn't know. We didn't know shit."
It's not just that too. It's his. So he comes out and says I agree. Like the people have shown the math. It's like pretty close whether you do it, but his explanation for it was he wanted the ball third. That doesn't check out to me if you kick a field goal on your drive, because you are saying we are playing to match. So if you're playing to match, you have to score a touchdown. They're going to match that touchdown. Then you get to go third and ice the game however you want. But the second you kick a field goal, you're no longer playing to get the ball third. You're just holding on for dear life that they don't score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Do you guys agree with the hot take that the way that Shanahan played that game indicates that he doesn't really trust Brock Purdy? That at the end of the day, he trusts him to execute the system, but doesn't trust him to do the whole thing on his own?
No, the thing with Shanahan, we've seen it, like they've blown like 3 10-point leads in the Super Bowl. Like that's brutal.
Yeah.
But
what do you guys think Kyle Shanahan did on Monday?
That's what I'm saying. He just gets really tight, it seems like, in like those tight moments. And that's no bueno for him.
Well, we saw he didn't trust Purdy in that game against the Lions, right? They came out in the second half and he was terrified. It was like quick screens to Debo or hand it off to CMC and maybe I'll let you scramble a few downs. That was it. Like he was not letting him throw anymore.
The Hardman touchdown. How do you guys feel about that?
Back from the wilderness. They exiled the prodigal son. He had to wander. He had to go deal with Nathaniel Hackett's bullshit. They trade him back for a conditional, a conditional seventh round pick. And then the dude makes the biggest, it's so beautiful, man. It is so beautiful that Mecole Hardman, who like every Chiefs fan hates and every non-Chiefs fan hates him too, that he's the one that scores the touchdown. Like, amazing.
It's so funny too, because it's like Andy Reid has these plays in his playbook and he's like, I have to run these. And it has to be executed by just one of the most volatile players in the league. And it's like, it's going to either be Kadarius Toney, Mecole Hardman, Sky Moore, someone completely undependable, but we will run this play with one of these assholes no matter what.
I will say hammering Kelsey live overs ended up being good. That was the only
good
thing.
Did you get some flash drafts in, Dave?
No, no flash drafts. I was just hanging out with Dan and all the Roto Grinders guys. We have like,
were you
kids.
On your phone like grinding these overs, or was it like everyone's at the party? Like, dude, yeah. Let's all go back.
Guys, we got to hit the Kelsey live over 55 and a half like, receiving yards in the second half.
Cal was there. So, everybody's talking about this and it's like a group discussion. It's a group thing. Holly said like it was the first time she's ever been to a Super Bowl party where like everyone actually watched the Super Bowl. Like it wasn't where people were just talking, you know, in the back room or whatever. Like everyone was like kind of glued in on the Super Bowl. I'm not sure if Tay Tay had anything to do with that, but we're like
the Taylor Swift impact is like unbelievably.
That's why my
real,
girls
dude.
Like, that's why they were going for it. And so like I got home to see it and it's all the girls just jumping up and screaming. And me as the guy who really wanted the 49ers to win, I just, you know.
Like my wife and her sisters have never made any attempt to be like, I know who that is or like what's going on. And they were like locked in.
Did you guys see the Bales tweet?
No.
During the Super Bowl.
it's about data versus information. I thought that the long halftime would benefit the Chiefs because Reed could go in to the locker room.
I haven't seen Bales get like destroyed on a tweet like that. Like sometimes people just roll their eyes at a Bales tweet, but that one, like he got so much hate for that one. It felt
so
like
funny.
That one. Of like Usher was out there so long that the Chiefs were going to win was essentially the tip.
All right. We got some other stuff to talk about, but before that, we have to kind of set the table and we're going to do that right now with Mr. Overzet's overview.
Got that dog in a butt. Got that dog in a butt. Overzet's overview. Come on.
All right. It might be the off season, but I'm still here writing monologue jokes for this show. The Chiefs won the Super Bowl for the third time in 5 years, which makes it tied for the fourth greatest day in Davis Maddox's life. Wait for it.
Yes.
Wait for it. The crowd prepares to go wild. This is what Davis and Dave think is comedy. Since he sold the Tyler Hero Rohan moment for a down payment on a house. Laugh track, Sosa.
Nailed it.
That is killing in the suburbs right now. Yeah. People are loving it.
Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift didn't publicly endorse Joe Biden after the game. But with how much simping we saw from Kelce at the encore after party, he might as well have. Jason.
Who got simped?
No, you know, just Travis is at the party, just giving Taylor all these little kisses and stuff, just being a total simp. Totally a Biden move there. Jason is voting for Trump, though. That I feel pretty confident in. Not to get political again, but Patrick Mahomes went on the Pat McAfee show after the Super Bowl and said he doesn't think we landed on the moon. If I'm Mahomes' publicist, I'm saying that he got a contact high from Aaron Rodgers on the same program. There's still some of that pixie dust floating in the air.
He's in the ayahuasca chamber.
Yeah. Kyle Shanahan is now a very sad boy. If he were a best ball bro, he'd definitely be a randomized pod truther on Twitter. He's like, I didn't get in the fair pot. No, they rigged it. Not rumor. David Kitchen, our very own David Kitchen, was in Florida for Dink's wedding over the Super Bowl weekend. Rumor is he jumped in for the father-daughter dance, claiming Dink's bride Lily was actually part of his tree. Is that true, Dave? You bogarted the father-daughter dance?
No, it's not true. That was good.
Mr. Tuttle isn't here today, and that's partly because he's become a new person. I don't know if you guys have been following him on X. First, he retweeted a big T post that involved the words workbench, and then he admitted to watching Barstool's free throw challenge. I mean, like, maybe he really is a regular on the Pat McAfee show. I mean, who is this Tuttle? What happened to him? He's turned into a Barstool bro who says things like workbench. Many are wondering how we're going to fill an hour of content today with no games to discuss. Joke's on you. We've been preparing for this moment all season. Back to you, Dave.
Thank you. Nice. Good stuff there. I thought you might incorporate this, so I didn't want to like steal your thunder, but can we just talk a little bit about how ridiculous and absurd it is now that when people win these prizes, they shout us out. Shout me out,
Dave. It's a great pitch.
Yeah. So on Sunday night and Monday, opening up X and see all these people thanking me for living a little as they win 5- and 6-figure prizes.
No one won 6 figures because the gauntlet was a chop, but it is a really, really good bit that just anyone who is vaguely aware of the show to ship something. And then instead of thanking Corain or the ETR rankings or whatever, they're just like, yeah, dude, Tucker Dave, live a little. Honestly, it's a great way to influence people because maybe it will mean that moving forward, fewer people will actually just, you know, auto draft off of ETR rankings or whatever. And they're like, no, dude, this contest where the optimal team was duped, definitely the right way to win the optimal contest where the best lineup was duped. You gotta live a little.
No, what they're doing is they are playing optimally, but they're just shouting out Dave for fake living a little.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's
going to influence others.
I hope so. Dave, yeah. It would honestly be a great bit if you started a website and it was just like all testimonials of people you have helped. It's like kitchenstree.com, and you just like embedding all of the tweets in the screenshots, except you're not actually selling anything. You know, you are just the person that everyone credits.
It is the gift that keeps on giving. So that stuff, it is so absurd, but I love it so much. And I'm glad that the whole philosophy is, because really living a little, it's whatever you want it to be. It can be, you know, taking a risk. It can be just enjoying life, just having joy, you know? So it's whatever it is to that person. It's not one little construct. It's, you know, it's multiple constructs out there. So shout out to everyone who ships stuff. And yes, I was in Florida over the weekend. Davis, I'll just say you missed a really, really good time. Leone was there. Wiggins. Jennings, and by Jennings I mean Ashley Jennings and her husband.
Wait, how is it that all these people were there but the only content I saw involved you and Leone?
Well, most people kind of have decor when you go to the wedding of a public figure. It's a little bit gauche to be like, oh my god, I'm gonna take all these pictures, you know. I told Dave, Leone, and Dink at my wedding, no pictures, no one's taking any pictures, no one's posting anything. And
Drew is the one, though, that posted a picture of,
which is allowed. It was me. Drew's wedding. Drew is allowed to communicate what he wants to communicate. I posted a picture at my wedding of all of us together, but that's why that's what the content is. You can't, you know,
Drew is, it was like an amazing time. Drew is just the most intentional person I know. And so like, if you left that wedding, not feeling any sort of love, like, you just like check your pulse because
now, the wedding, the wedding I had to go to was not very GTO.
Here's, yeah, you should have been
thanks
there.
Thanks for rubbing it in.
Here's what you missed out on. They wrote everyone a handwritten note and like posted on the board, like every one of their guests, a handwritten note and posted on the board. And so you go in there and like people are like getting their names and opening up this like long, thoughtful card for every single guest. That's how thoughtful they are. Like, I don't know. I just love Drew. It wish him the best. It was a really good time. It's fun hanging out with all the OG bros.
Did Levitan dance or did he sit on the sidelines?
Levitan did dance. Yes.
Wow. There we go.
Yeah. Levitan. And that was the first time that like the wives got to meet. Well, my wife got to meet like everybody and their wives as well. So, It was a fun time. It was a good time.
Nothing like getting a bunch of virgins together and then their wives are all there to be like these fucking losers that we have to live with all the time. Just like unbelievable.
It was funny that, you know, some of the, like they did their own vows. And honestly, like I've never heard something like that. Like I thought I was like the only one getting emotional. And I found out Levitan behind me was getting emotional as well. Like while they were talking, but it's just like, it was a great story. And we're talking about her talking to her friends being like, I met this guy, Drew, and they called him fantasy football guy. She referenced him as fantasy football guy. And it's like, I think fantasy football guy might be the one. He has a podcast, like, you know, stuff like that, that I would just love it as like a fantasy football guy, you know, just the outside.
That's all world. It is. That's all it takes. To land the woman of your dreams these days, having a fantasy football podcast.
Fantasy football podcast. FF comedy hour _podcast.
Anchor.com services are down right now. Lots of your virgins furiously signing up.
Yeah. So it was a good time. It was a fun time. And just what I needed. Now I'm back on the grind here. Davis, you did want to do a special show.
I wanted you to do a big board on stream. Obviously we wouldn't turn this into the show for like the next 4 months or whatever, but the concept of you waiting in, having not thought about fantasy football for months and months, and just logging in and just trying to think like, wait, Austin Eckler is a sixth round pick, like it would have been,
I'd be the same as Dave. I haven't done a draft yet.
You haven't been doing big boards, brother.
Oh man.
Davis, my thing was you had this great idea and then like you kept us hanging and then you said, we get Dave to do a first look draft. Like we didn't do that last year. We don't. And like, that's the only entertaining thing we have in the off season. So don't, you know, let's not.
What are you talking about, dude? Crypto's pumping. Pretty sure we're going to be doing 15 minute bits on the show where
I
you
did
have,
almost
like...
suggest us ripping a metallic, Ellie.
it's still in beta, dude. Top Shot still in beta.
The metallic MGLEs are available if anyone
are you out in these shitcoin streets? Are you airdrop farming, Dave, or are you just not doing that question, Davis? Well, I thought I would have known the answer to that question during the initial run in 2021, and Dave is out here like minting NFT boxes and has opinions on like NFT artists. So the dude always remains a little surprising.
Yeah, it's true. But that's also like during that time, you just got way deep into that stuff. You were not.
How much do I owe you for that NFT box that we split again? I don't think we ever settled up on that.
You probably don't want to know because it was like the price of
I want to settle up at current prices.
Yeah, I know, right?
Pete, I mean that is a good bit because like we have like you and me and Brick and Pat have two fractionally owned like S1 hollow debuts. I think we have the Zion Top Shot debut MGLE whatever, you know, that was valued at like $37,000 at one point. I bet we'd be lucky to get $1,000 for it right now.
I don't even know why we still have that. I'm making a resolution to get better at not forgetting where I randomly have like dusty amounts to ETH. Like I just the other day I took my money out of Frentech I completely forgot and I still had some in there and I finally got that ETH off of there. Because otherwise, if I don't do it, it's just lost to the sands of time.
Like I'm messaging everyone Davis, that is involved.
You want to give out your key right now, Davis?
Well, Frentech was cool, but you remember what happened with Frentech? You got hacked.
Davis, you almost went to a Beanie level quote of being like, "I'm going to integrate Frentech into everything I do for the rest of my life." That was you for about 2 weeks.
I mean, who knows? Maybe I would have, and then it became a thing where it was too easy to get drained. You could just by having the app on your phone, it became like there were basically, it wasn't even hard. All you had to do was call someone's phone provider and be like, "I lost my phone, dude. Can you send me a text message?" Like, people were saying it was like the most insanely easy thing to do. So,
all right, let's talk some ball real quick. I've got rankings pulled up from Fantasy Life. Pete, have you looked at any sort of rankings for next year?
Yeah, and both Dwayne and Friedman put theirs out. I've mainly looked at like the first couple of rounds and been like, Kyren Williams is too high, yada yada.
Yeah. What, like, I'm just going to go down some names.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey. It's the first time I'm looking at this as well. Christian McCaffrey, the 1.1. Justin Jefferson. Tyreek Hill. CeeDee Lamb. Some might have said a couple years
notoriously,
ago he was not.
Notoriously fake alpha CeeDee Lamb.
Not an alpha receiver. I'm not going to say who said that. This one surprised me a little bit. Breece Hall. The juice that he's getting right now as the 1.5.
By the time you are ready to draft Dave, Breece is going to be the second or third pick off the board.
He should be.
I can't do it.
Why?
What for what reason?
He had like the fourth most scrimmage yards of any player last season in just an awful environment, and he didn't even play the first 5 weeks. The dude is an absolute crusher.
How are we to know that the environment is not going to be awful again?
So are you saying Aaron Rodgers isn't coming back?
I don't know. Are you saying that Aaron Rodgers is coming back? Because that has been an on and off again thing where the guy just
likes
to
get political
attention. Yeah, it's not. All right. Bijan Robinson after Breece Hall. So we got Breece Hall and Bijan Robinson. And then Ja'Marr Chase, Amon-Ra, Jahmyr Gibbs, AJ Brown, and then Kyren Williams and Puka coming in at 13 and 14.
Puka way too low there. And Kyren, I mean, look, we all know the deal with Kyren Williams. We've all been here before, you know. Alfred Morris, yeah. Philip Lindsay, Kenyon Drake, Tony Pollard. You know, it's like, could Kyren Williams be Arian Foster? Absolutely. I am reasonably confident that this price is too high, but maybe, I don't know. As of right now, I'm not taking him in the big board. I am not taking Kyren Williams in the big board at current market prices.
What about Puka?
Yeah, I am taking Puka. Because the thing is about drafting this early is, Dave, let's just do a little bit of big board strategy sessions here.
Yeah.
Right now, what you got to be doing in the big board is you just want to be drafting zero RB teams. You want to have like
one
running back.
Can you tell people what the big board is that do not know?
The big board is the 150 max. I don't know how many people are in it. 200K to first pre-NFL draft tournament on Underdog. So I'm drafting for a season that doesn't start for what, 9 months or whatever. It's pretty fun, honestly.
Okay. Yeah, I love drafts.
Dave loves
very convincing.
All right, I just want to get your guys' thoughts on some of those rankings.
Bijan, don't you think it's a pretty CMC definitely 101, but it's a like, I'm not going to quibble with anyone how they rank like players 2 through 6. You know, I've seen like
yeah,
I think I'd say 2
Dwayne,
through 4.
Dwayne has CeeDee Lamb second overall in his ranks. I have no problem with that.
Seems fine.
Yeah. Jefferson, Tyreek, Breece, CeeDee, order those guys however you want. Live your life.
Can I do an early prediction for who ship chasing will end up making clips of and turn into the next Sky Moore?
Is it the guy that just got comped by the 33rd team to Tyquan Thornton earlier today that I retweeted?
I don't know. Who would
Troy Franklin?
Oh no. He's gonna be drafted too high. It will be Malachi Corley, the guy from Western Kentucky. He's gonna end up being like a third round pick, probably. Could go even higher because the thirst for wide receivers are gonna be so real. He's gonna be drafted by a team we all like. You know, he'll be a Bill or a Bengal or a Chief or an Eagle or something, or a Raven. You know, he'll go to a team that we all like, and he's good in all the data stuff. He's going to have a good combine. He was super productive at Western Kentucky, and he's going to show up and, you know, be Sky Moore.
Love that for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chiefs have to get somebody, Davis, right?
Well, that's sort of interesting because they are about to restructure Pat's contract to free up some more cap space. Now they've got some defensive contracts that need to be handled. I believe Legarius Sneed is eligible for a contract extension, and he will be wanting one. But Mike Evans, you know,
he's going to be Hopkins? The guy, because I think Hopkins still has a year left. Higgins.
Well, yes, but players can be traded.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be trading Hopkins unless it's for significant value,
for a fourth round pick.
Yeah, I don't think they'll trade Hopkins for that.
What? But DeAndre Hopkins might not want to play for the Titans. He might be like, I'd actually like to win before this is over.
He loves Will Levis.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You know, he might, but you know who he might like to play with more?
Patrick Mahomes.
He might play with Patrick Mahomes.
You know, he could have done that last year then.
That's what I'm saying. He's already shown that he doesn't
The Chiefs could not spend $11 million on a wide receiver last year. They could spend $11 million on a wide receiver this year.
They got to use that. Isn't their draft pick at 32 going to just put them in a pretty nice sweet spot for a Troy Franklin type?
I think he's already going to be gone. I think that they are Keon Coleman, maybe, but I want them to take if Gabe Davis ends up being a Chief,
that would be honestly perfect. MVS needs a friend.
Well, I think they can get all's fair in love and war. I think they have an out at MVS's contract this offseason that will save them. So, yeah. Okay, never mind. They are they're paying MVS $13 million this year.
Mike Ooh. Evans. Mike Evans is the guy that I think, because Higgins they think is going to be franchised. Yeah. And you got Evans. And Evans still has it. Like he still has.
I don't know how good of a stylistic fit he is with Pat so much. You know, I mean, like obviously he would be good, but it feels like, you know, he's just like the best possible version of Justin Watson. You know.
So what's the over under on wide receivers projected to go in round one? Is it at like 5.5 or is it 4.5 right now?
If it was 5.5, I don't know. If it was 5.5, I would I would maybe even take the over, because if you just look at the back half, so you've got Marvin Harrison Jr. and Neighbors who are locks to go really high. But then look at the teams who are picking in the 20s who are just like absolutely desperate for wide receiver. Well, one, Jacksonville, if Calvin Ridley leaves, which he seems like it's probably going to. Then we've got the Steelers who need a wide receiver. The Rams, probably not. We've got the Cowboys who really need a wide receiver because Brandon Cooks is a billion years old. We've got the Buccaneers. We got the Bills. We got the Lions. We got the Ravens. And then the Chiefs. Like, there's probably three wide receiver picks right there.
Because it's what? Then it's Adunze, Franklin. Who's the fifth guy everyone likes?
Keon Coleman. Yeah, Florida State.
Florida State, yeah.
Brian Thomas.
Brock Bowers is basically a wide receiver.
I'm planting the flag. He's going to the Chargers. The Chargers.
Everybody has that. That's the chalk pick.
No, I think the Titans is the chalk pick.
Dude, no, I saw a big board draft, Friedman's mock draft. I've seen it in like three or four.
Okay. All right. Never mind. Not a hot take, but that's where Brock Bowers is going. And then Harbaugh is going to have that dude blocking his butt off. Harbaugh is like ready to become the new Arthur Smith, by the way, in the NFL. I hope people are ready for it.
How detrimental to the Bowers stock do we think the photo was? Him next to Gronk, just looking like a total dweeb.
He looks like a World of Warcraft player. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I didn't realize.
He did say that one place he wanted to go was the Titans. Yeah, that was interesting.
Poor Chig.
Titans need some offensive line help. The Bears, if they trade Fields, where should he go?
Atlanta.
Atlanta's the fun spot.
Raiders, the other spot.
You know, Raiders are going to get stuck with Russell Wilson. It's going to be
no. Perfect. You know what the Raiders are going to do? The Raiders are going to trade up. The Raiders are going to trade up for JJ McCarthy. That would be the ultimate Raiders move.
Michael Zimmerman said Steelers.
Do you think Adams is long for the Raiders, or you think he's gone?
Oh, get Davante Adams to the Kansas City Chiefs, baby. We would love to have you, Davante.
Does he want to go play with Rodgers?
I mean, does he really want to go play with, like, I don't know. I feel like he might be done trying to play with his friends who are the quarterback.
Dude, how nuts would that be if he did go? Would we have, I think we'd have three Jets going in round one. Because we'd have Adams, Wilson, and Breece if that happened.
No, one of Adams or Wilson would fall quite a bit. The Raiders actually can get out of his contract.
No, hang on. I'm pushing back on that. Fall? Why would they fall?
Because the Jets are going to be a low-volume offense because the defense is so good.
But Adams was a 1-2 turn pick with worst quarterback play last year. There's no way he's falling.
But with like a 33% target share, it's going to be like 28% for each of them now.
Bigger pie. I think both of those guys, if you get Rodgers back fully healthy, Adams there, they're both round one.
Is it going to be a bigger pie? Because the Rodgers offenses were never high volume offenses, even in his MVP seasons, 597 attempts, 569, 526, 531, 542. Rodgers prefers to play as slow as possible. That's how he feels most comfortable. I don't think there's enough volume for two guys.
I mean, where's multiple pairings of wide receivers go round one and two? It's not that big of a stretch that a guy comes up from mid to late second to one.
I'm not saying it's a stretch. In general, I'm saying it's a stretch with the Nathaniel Hackett, Aaron Rodgers Jets at 40 years
old. Where is Kenny Pickett going in the big board drafts, Davis?
That's a question no one asked.
I didn't rank him, so I don't have him in my like in my custom uploaded rankings. He's not even there.
You got Tana Thrill coming there. You got Justin. Like, anytime I hear anything related to the Steelers offense, I just laugh and entertain because I know that this spring and summer is just going to be fantasy bros just tilting every time Steelers offense is mentioned because of their offensive coordinator.
It's going to be Arthur bad. Smith. It's going to be Arthur Smith.
He just led the Titans before his head coaching job to like one of the best offenses that there is. I'm not out on Arthur Smith as offense coordinator, but
there's,
I think
there's a huge
else is.
Disconnect between the Arthur Smith discourse with the real football bros and ball knowers, and they love caping for Arthur Smith, but all we care about is fantasy points, and we know that he is a very toxic coordinator slash coach for offensive passing games. And he maybe if he had a great quarterback, he could skirt by, but he does not have that. It's going to be a disaster. The run
He's
game will be fine. Dude, does anyone think Arthur Smith is unlocking George Pickens on the outside?
I personally do not. I saw what Arthur Smith did with Drake London, who is better than George Pickens, and I was not particularly impressed. And also, I mean, how old is Ryan Tannehill? Do we even think that Ryan Tannehill on the Steelers is like, is this even good? Is this even what we want?
I think he's back up.
Boots on the ground.
Back up to who? Pickett knows Arthur Smith.
Oh, dude, Pickett is over.
He's Jover. I mean,
I think this comment.
That's why I was
comment,
curious to see if he's being drafted.
There's a comment in the chat that I can't tell if it's racist or not about Deontay Johnson learning a language, but it made me laugh.
I don't know.
He said, Arthur Smith is a war criminal. Deontay Johnson, get ready to learn Chinese. I don't get it. I don't get it, but it did make me laugh.
Yeah, well, maybe if you think something is along those lines, like you don't mention it on the air.
It's like a meme. It's like when you're sending like an NBA player over to the Chinese league because they're so bad. There
That's
you go.
What I thought. That's what I thought it was, but I couldn't. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, it's popular. There you go in the chat. It's popular meme from NBA.
We're getting so old that Davis doesn't know like the memes anymore.
Yeah, it's like Michael it's like Michael Beasley. Like I hope your Mandarin's good, Michael Beasley. I get it. That's why I knew it was funny. My brain was trying to be. See,
for like guys in their 20s to join the show because we're just going to age out really fast.
Yeah, now that I'm not young anymore, we really don't have a voice of the young on the show anymore.
Yeah,
Pete's when made, you brought Pete's me on, it was supposed to be an influx of young talent, and now that thesis is aged out.
So now we have to go back. we have to go back and beg Jack Miller to come on the show and just like please teach us about what the
remember when he was
doing?
Supposed to come on here and he couldn't and he canceled.
He bailed for a family vacation.
And the best bit is we've never asked him back.
Not once.
That kid dead ass told us like publicly that he had a picnic to go to.
Yeah,
that should have been the end of his career. That should have been a red flag for Taylor and Levitan. They'd be like, let's get this guy off the payroll, man. He's got picnics on the mind.
All right. Other stuff you guys want to talk about?
Well, I just want to report on the process of liquidating the Top Shot Momes. Brian,
he's fired off multiple DMs now. What is going on, David?
Brian said, I own a Zion. Turns out he doesn't. It's the other one. And now he's saying, what's the point at these prices, honestly? To which I say, they can only go one direction. What is the one direction you think an NBA Top Shot can go? Are you waiting for upwards price action on your NBA Top Shot? And another thing, did you guys know NFL All Day still exists?
I had to recently unsubscribe from the emails. Yeah, I was like, this is just too much.
Rookie mistake. I sold every last Dapper product I have about 2 years ago, and I blocked their email. So even if Dapper wanted, if they were like, dude, you left something on the site, you wanted $1 million, I wouldn't get it because every
what
Dapper,
if, I really Dapper hope that there's an email that bounced to Maddox's address from Roham, and he's like, we want you to be our Kevin Hart. We're going to give you a $5 million endorsement deal to make promoting NFL All Day your life's mission. And you never replied.
To be honest,
what would be your price to just be a full-time, like everything? So you work for the company, you create content, you're their head lead. Like what's that salary number? You do that for $500,000?
No. Am I still allowed to play fantasy football and DFS and everything?
Yeah, yeah. It's just everything about you. You're literally named like Top Shot Matic, like or All Day Matic. And like no one's engaging with the platform, but you have to fire out like 10 tweets a day about the marketplace.
That's $1 million a year. That's because I'll never be able to get a job back that I want again. It's not like I could send Dan Bach an email and be like, "Hey, I'm ready to transition out of the NFL all day space and come back into the fold."
You could.
He's gonna be like, "Dude, lose this email immediately." I'd do it for $1 million a year, though. $1 million a year benefits, and I can work fully remote. I'd never have to go to their office. Never once do I have to meet.
You wouldn't do it for $500,000? You wouldn't do it for $500,000?
I mean, it's one thing to talk about in abstract, but I'm just thinking about it, and I'm like, that sounds like the worst job imaginable.
You have to host a one-hour clubhouse every day.
Okay, $1 million?
No, I know Davis. He would do it for $500,000.
It's me, Pack Rip Ewing, and
I think Pack Rip got laid off.
He did. Paul
Don't
B,
laugh.
Paul
Don't
B
laugh.
Highlighting in the chat. Moment Matic. I mean, it does just rolls right off.
I would contribute. I would pass around the, you know, the little tithing box to make sure that that could happen.
Oh,
all right. Davis, you said that you had some interesting takes for next season.
I wanted to take the pulse of a normie right now, and who better to do than to ask Soccer Dave. So obviously I've only been talking to nerds about what the Chicago Bears should do with their first overall pick, but I wanted to take the temperature of your average get up on ESPN viewer. So what do you think the Chicago Bears should do with the number one pick?
I think they should keep Fields.
Amazing. Amazing. Why?
I watched a lot of USC games with Caleb Williams. And I just don't think he is. He's like Kyler, maybe a little better than Kyler. I don't think he moves the needle.
And okay, so what if it's Drake May? Do you have whatever your young preference is?
Yeah, I just think that I think Justin Fields is fine. I think he's fine. I think you've got work to do elsewhere on that roster, and you did good last season with trading down. Trade down again or go get Marvin Harrison, you know, like at the 2 or 3 spot, whatever. And then just fill all the other holes. That's what I think. I think the Caleb Williams thing, we just don't know. I get it. You get like another 2 years of a rookie contract, but man, that guy, he's a wild card. I'm going to love him for fantasy, but for like a Super Bowl, I'm not sure.
So you think that Justin Fields heading into year 4, we still don't know. We just cannot possibly know if he's good.
He's had like 4 different offensive coordinators, right? Like he's got a ton of – he hasn't had a ton of continuity in that offense. He's been running around like crazy. Like, get the man some help.
All right, let me flip it to Davis. Davis, do you think we have seen the ceiling from Justin Fields? Because I actually think I'm closer to Dave on this one.
I mean, sure. If you did get him in a more consistent, you know, better offensive line, 3 solid pass catchers, whatever, you could get better results from him as a passer than he's had. But the chances of Fields being the guy are like sub 1%. Fields is not a franchise direction changing player. He just is not accurate.
He's
and
not a Brock
enough.
Purdy.
I he's not as good as Purdy. No, I don't even think they're in the same class, really, because the Purdy strengths are Fields' exact weaknesses. Purdy does not really take sacks. Purdy does not really turn the ball over. Fields does both of those things at a high, high clip. You just can't. I'll say this. Unless Fields stops getting sacked 10% of the time, he is drawing dead to ever be a winning quarterback. And we are now into year 4. He also was sacked a ton per drop back at Ohio State. I don't see any evidence that he can fix that.
Yeah. It's what makes it interesting. Because, like, if you watched USC games this past year, I don't know, Caleb Williams made some, like, incredible throws, but he also did some dumb stuff, too. I think his stock went down a little bit. Just the fact that they're even entertaining other quarterbacks at that top.
It definitely did, because for a while everyone was like, Caleb Williams, 101 with a bullet.
Tank it wasn't for Caleb.
Even, yeah.
Right. Like, everyone's tanking for the next generational quarterback, and some of that shine.
I think everyone's stupid. This is a dude who won a Heisman at 19. He's really. And
are you
and
going Evan Sylvan motherfucking Mackey Award with us on this analysis?
Yeah. Yeah. And Drake May is good too. Caleb does bring up a good point, which is that he did cry once after a game. So hard to take that guy.
Wait, isn't there the take about him? Like, there's the photos of him wearing interesting clothes and he paints his fingernails and stuff. Aren't some of the football hardos out on him because of that
stuff? Yeah, Oriyun Gaming is out on having a quarterback who paints his nails, dude. You can't.
That is such like an inside reference, Davis. Like, you can't just like say that. And expect
I was gonna look that guy up to see like who is this guy.
I mean, I'm all about the inside baseball stuff, but that's taking it too far.
Dude. We are six levels inside baseball. Yeah, no. The thing is you just got to zoom out a little bit. Like, anyone who does an analytical model on Caleb Williams is like, he's the best. What are we doing?
So what
are we doing here? Jim Santa's just published his stuff the other day, and it's his best prospect in a decade.
Who's Jim Santa's? I said no more of these inside baseball rounds.
You know Jim Santa's is FanDuel guy.
JJ's former coworker.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
The new JJ.
The new JJ. Yeah.
Who do you think? Like, who do you think is going to sponsor JJ's podcast?
I mean, hopefully Barstool, maybe the Pat McAfee show. Oh, okay. Let's end on this. Do you guys know about the beef between Pat McAfee and Bill Simmons right now?
No.
Okay. So their beef is not about the quality of each other's programming or anything like that. The beef is that Simmons says that McAfee is bad at sports betting. And then McAfee says, you know, I don't know, maybe I am, but 250,000 people tailed my same game parlay in the Super Bowl and only like 8,000 people tailed yours, buddy. So who's really winning the game here? They're beefing about who, when you log on to FanDuel, the few people who can log on to FanDuel, who are clicking.
Is this a legit beef, or would it be like us and Silva, like kind of beef?
I think it's real because Simmons is very petty. So I don't think he makes
that beef. It's...
I think, yeah.
Dave, that sounds like your kind of beef, yeah. You know, talking about like, just check the engagement, bro.
You're not wrong. Yeah. Pat McAfee calls out Bill Simmons. Keep running your mouth, buddy. Like, just your classic. The thing is that that's a real situation where I don't know who I want to win, because obviously I grew up absolutely loving Bill Simmons.
You love Bill Simmons, I thought.
I do, but he's a bad boss, dude. He keeps having these things where like the Ringer employees are like, will you please pay us? And then he's always like, I don't really know if I want to pay.
Dude, you know what's also funny? I just connected what also would have stoked the flames. Simmons is obviously boys with Jimmy Kimmel, who just got called a pedo by one of McAfee's guests. So
So even the deeper subtext of the conversation is that people are believing that it might potentially be, that's actually why Simmons is mad. He doesn't actually care about how many people bet his same game parlay or whatever, but that it's actually about, you know, Simmons is part of the liberal Hollywood elite and Pat McAfee's doing the dirty work of calling out the elite.
Well, it also makes sense from like, for what, 10 years, maybe even more, Simmons was like the center of the online sports universe.
Like 20 years.
And now McAfee is that. McAfee has more pull than basically anyone at ESPN other than Stephen A. Smith, probably. Like, he is the straw that stirs that drink.
Who is the AJ Hawk of the Simmons universe? Unfortunately, everyone has to talk in the Simmons universe.
One of those cousins, right? Is there a cousin that doesn't talk as much?
Cousin Sal?
Cousin Sal, baby.
So, share my screen.
Simmons.
That I put, I got to show, this is the Caleb Williams photo that got people up in arms. They said this was why he can't be QB1.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, look, you wear a dress, you lose a game as a quarterback for the Chicago Bears. I don't know. It's like a skort.
I think you'd call that a dress, right?
He's a handsome dude. Got the New Balance grays on. He's going to be so good in the NFL, dude. But you'd rather
it is funny.
Hey, but Justin Fields is a vegan. Okay, I find veganism so much more objectionable than that. Like, unbelievably so.
It is funny how people like process fashion from athletes, right? Where it basically falls into two buckets, where it's like, oh man, that's so zany and outrageous what Cam Newton's wearing or what DeAndre Hopkins is wearing. And then the Caleb Williams, then it just like veers into homophobia or whatever. Like that, like those are the only two ways that people know how to process also fashion that doesn't look like blue jeans and a t-shirt.
Right. I remember this is like 10 years ago, Russ was wearing
people wearing, used to get triggered about Russ's clothes. Yeah,
he was wearing like skinny jeans and this long shirt, oversized shirt, and I'm like, this guy thinks he knows fashion, you know, whatever. And then I just thought it was so absurd. And then like literally like 5 or 6 years later, everyone's wearing skinny jeans and like oversized shirts. So it's just
that's what's going to happen. Kitchen, you know what? I meant to tell you, I finally found a use case for the shoes I tailed you on that ended up having Bored Ape on the tongue. April, I get to tell April, look, there's a monkey on my shoe. And then April knows what a monkey says. So she goes, ooh, ooh, ah, ah. So I finally have a use case.
I love my shoes. Sans the Bored Ape on the inside.
You do not wear those.
I wear them everywhere. You cannot see the ape.
I've started to wear mine.
You can't see the ape. Yeah, thank you.
I find both of them. I find you guys so objectionable right now. I mean, that is bad.
Oh, Davis, do you want us to go through your fucking wardrobe and find all the problematic stuff that you wear?
I have nothing problematic, dude. I'm sure some of it's made in sweatshops, child labor.
Yeah, you had a Frentech QR code on one of your shirts.
No, mostly what I wear now is that I thrift all my stuff. I don't thrift it. I buy it all off eBay. I buy like 30-year-old pairs of Levi's and stuff. That's the move now.
I could just have kept my Levi's.
Dave, I bet if you dug out some Levi's that fit you when you were in high school, I bet you could sell them on eBay for like $150. Because they don't make Levi's in America anymore. They make them overseas and the pockets are done all wrong.
Not my Levi's.
Not your Levi's. So if you want the made in America Levi's, you got to buy like 20, 30-year-old ones.
Better resale value. Kitchen's old Levi's are our Zion moment that we're trying to sell right now.
This is a good bit. Whenever Karain logs on and he shows us the screenshot, it's going to be like the Zion debut is like $317.
I still have shirts from the fantasysports.org days that never sold, and now I feel like those are vintage now. Like, and they're all American Apparel.
They're over a decade old. So honestly, decade old American Apparel, you might be able to sell those to like emo kids from high school, even with the logo.
Yeah, that could be good. All right. Final thoughts, Davis.
Very happy for my Kansas City Chiefs. I hope Legarius Sneed gets paid. I hope everyone. I'm happy that Steve Spagnuolo got paid, and I'm very much looking forward to Malachi Corley and DeAndre Hopkins and Mike Evans and Jatavion Sanders all being members of the Kansas City Chiefs next year.
I do have to rebrand my site Great Fit Patriots to Great Chief Patriot or greatchiefs.com, because that's Davis has entered that mode where he can envision every single player with a pulse being Chiefs.
Why wouldn't they want to be on the Chiefs, buddy? It's gotta a dynasty. Three Super Bowls in 5 years.
All right. Pete, final thoughts.
If you're in big board drafts, take Caleb Williams at least a round ahead of ADP to fight the anti-woke culture. Yeah. That's how you stick it to him.
All right. And I will shout out just producer Sosa for just continuing to do the show. I will say I was expecting maybe a Valentine's Day theme for the thumbnail, but that's okay.
We don't do that here. We don't coddle these soft men in America.
Yeah, we do.
Are you going to cancel me for getting my wife flowers on Valentine's Day, Davis?
I got my wife three sets of flowers and I made her a cake.
Seriously? Three sets of flowers? Wow, I barked up the wrong tree.
You just need one.
No, she's a great lady, man. She deserves to be appreciated. No.
See, Kitchen, set the bar way too high. He's got a lot to learn. How are you doing it next year, buddy?
But you just buy more.
Two cakes, six sets of flowers. You're going to need to be working for Top Shot at this rate.
Look, Roham, if you want to give me $1 million a year to be Momentmatic, slide in the DMs. I can't respond to your email, so you have to DM me.
All right. I will just say, just sign off by saying what I said to Drew and Lily in their guest book. And that is perfect for this Valentine's Day. I put live a little and love a lot. So with that being said, we'll see you in 2 weeks here on the Swolecast or undergrounders.com. Peace.